You're listening to the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
Bloomberg Advantage with Corey Johnson and Carol Masser. Actually, it's not Carol Masser. It's Brendan Greeley sitting in for Carol Masser. Tad Revelle is with us. He's the Chief Investment Officer for Fixed Income for the TCW Group. Of course, we're going to talk about the Fed because the Fed is data dependent and there's a lot of data to depend on right now. Tad, I'm going to share with you my favorite Bloomberg function. That's a shameless plug. But it basically looks at Fed futures funds and assesses the probability that the markets are assigning to a move. If we're looking at the September move, that probability as recently as early August was at 53%. It is now.
Wait, what's the function?
WIRP. Yeah. WIRP.
Yes, the WIRP.
The WIRP. It is now at 24%. So the markets are unambiguous in their interpretation of ambiguous data. What is the data you're looking at to figure out what the Fed's going to do?
Well, I don't know that we have much quarrel with the market in the sense that with a commodity bust up, a meltdown in Chinese equities, a clear weakening in the global economy, the Fed has probably missed the exit ramp in terms of being able to get out of its zero rate policy. We should put longer term context here. When exactly did the Fed start talking about exit strategies? Wasn't it about 5 years ago? And didn't they tell us at one point, once upon a time, that there would be an unemployment trigger at 6.5%? Then we went through that, and the 6.5% was recast as a threshold. And then they said something to the effect, well, we're looking at a dashboard, then we're data dependent. I think the Fed's lost a lot of credibility, and it would appear that the cycle and the lagged effects of extreme monetary policy have caught up with them as well as the rest of us.
Interesting. So, I think we have, it's not just this period of time. We've seen that the Fed has historically always overestimated both the return of inflation and overestimated GDP growth. They'll break out the pom-poms, or maybe they're not that bad. But given all that, is the driver of the world's rate environment still the Fed, or is their hand sort of guided elsewhere?
It is certainly elsewhere. We have certainly, from the standpoint of interest rate policy, we have lost control over it in the sense that even if the Fed does tighten in September, which, as you pointed, is no longer the consensus way of thinking, what difference does it make? So is this going to be the beginning of a tightening cycle, or is it merely a slight technical adjustment off of the zero bound? It can be no more than that, given the type of data that we are seeing. I think it unfortunately demonstrates a lot of things, which is that the Fed, along with other major central banks, have been promoting a major releveraging cycle over the course of the last 5 years, designed to prop up asset valuations in stocks and high yield and many other places. And here we are. We've arrived at a place that is no longer under the proactive control of the Fed or of other central banks, in which the market has taken control and is driving asset prices to much lower levels, in line with a renewed or updated realization that there's been a degree of policy failure. In a way, I'll just give one small snippet of that. We've had QE 1, 2, 3, and 4, which sort of begs the question, if you needed four versions of it, what was wrong with the first three, for instance? We have eased, and yet growth has disappointed sequentially. In fact, it slowed year over year. Inflation was supposed to be higher. It's lower. We're actually facing deflation, not inflation. It does suggest that the way in which the global economy is, quote-unquote, supposed to work, according to the models that the central bankers have, is clearly not going according to plan at all.
All right, so furthermore to that point, I mean, at what point, in my former background as a short seller, we used to always say, yeah, the Fed says they're not looking at the equity markets until the equity markets go down, but maybe they love it when they go straight up. Do you think the Fed is going to take any notice of this, and if not in their public comments, react to this this sell-off that is now in correction territory, at least, with the Dow at this present moment down 406 points?
They have to take note of it, of course. And in fact, we should remember that there was a very prolonged period of time, particularly under Bernanke, in which he supposedly looked to the equity market as proof that quantitative easing policies were working. It would be inconvenient, of course, now for the Fed to take note of those of what the equity market is doing publicly, I think, because of the fact that it would be suggestive that the zero rate policy and quantitative easing have proven to be ineffective, maybe, in fact, counterproductive. But the reality is that I think everybody can see it as plain as day, is that there is no capacity any longer for central banks to support asset prices at the elevated levels to which they took them to. I think, you know, maybe one way to understand the extraordinary policy of the last 5 years is just with a quick metaphor. Imagine that you have a room, and one side of the room is the risk-less side, and one side is the risk-taking side. The whole idea of Fed policy was to get as many people away from the risk-less side onto the risk-taking side, the theory being that it would drive up asset prices, it would infuse animal spirits, etc. But there's an end game there, isn't there? At some point, you've feasibly moved everybody from one side of the room to the other, and then what do? At that point, the only way you can exit a risk-based strategy, be that in equities or commodities or high-yield bonds, is by potentially selling at a steep loss because there's nobody left on the other side. I'm speaking a little loosely, of course. There's, quote-unquote, nobody left to take you out of your position because everybody's already in.
Tad, there are two ways to look at all the evidence that you've just provided. One is that there has been a failure of policy, but the other is that policy is being driven and nothing it could do could change the outcome. The Ben Bernanke idea was that there's a global glut of savings, and Larry Summers just repeated that this morning in the FT. There's a global glut of savings. I mean, isn't it possible that no matter what anyone does at the central bank, at any central bank, they're not going to fix that?
Well, I think that I think that those types of granted, we could, you know, certainly there's room to believe that there are two sides to the argument, but I think we come firmly down on the other side of it, because let's unpack these sort of quickly. Secular stagnation, that's one of the arguments that's being put forward, that there's some sea change in demographics. Okay, well, first of all, demographics change slowly.
That was my fault. I asked you about Larry Summers without enough time left, but we got to jump out of here. Tad Revels, the CIO, Chief Investment Officer of Fixed Income for the TCW Group. This is the Bloomberg Advantage.